This morning is right back to where we were last Sunday, in case you were not here. It's from Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. So I invite you to take your Bibles and open to that, and we'll read this together. Listen for the Word of God. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest, if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. My friends in Jesus Christ, all Scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. So may we be prepared to what God wants to do in our lives as we listen to His Word presented today. Please join me in prayer. Well, Lord God, we thank You that years ago You led one of Your missionaries, the Apostle Paul, to pen these words for the church in Galatia. But these words are also intended for us as Your church here in Hamilton today. So guide my thoughts, O Lord, as I present Your word to these, Your people, a people that You take deep delight in, who You love beyond all measure. And as we reflect together on these words of Scripture, may Your Spirit do this work that the Scriptures tell us they will do. The Spirit will teach us, correct us, reprove us, train us, that we might be equipped for every good work. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, life isn't fair. Let's just be upfront about that right now. Life just is not fair. If you haven't thought about that phrase, or if you haven't said that phrase at some point in your life, or you haven't shared it, you're very unique because it's part of being alive. And even though it's been several years since our two daughters were young in our home, I can still hear them say, "Dad, it's not fair." It's just not children that think that way. It's we who are adults as well. After all, how many of us don't see good things happening to bad people? And how many of us don't see bad things happening to good people? That's not fair. Or how many of us know of someone, maybe ourselves, who have worked long, hard hours for our employer at minimal pay? Well, we know of other people who hardly work at all, and they make more money in a lifetime than we ever could possibly imagine. Life is not fair. We think of those who are physically fit that die of a sudden heart attack. And we think of others who abuse their bodies all their lives and they live long, healthy lives. Not fair. Or what about all the people who can least afford to have their homes demolished by tornadoes and hurricanes and surges of water? Their homes are gone. Where the rest of us, we're fine. Where is the fairness in life? Life just isn't fair. But who of us have ever asked this question? Put it up there. Where did we ever get the idea that life is to be fair all the time for everyone? Where did we get that idea from? I wonder, just wondering, if we didn't get this idea from the very words of Scripture that I just read from Galatians 6. I'm going to reread that, but in the New Living Translation, look how it looks in the New Living Translation. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, that is what that person will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he will show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. What a person plants, that is what a person will harvest. In other words, you get out of life what you deserve. That's what those verses would say, wouldn't it? I mean, if you're a kind of person who pleases your sinful nature, as we were exploring last Sunday, you can expect you're going to have troubles and problems and difficulties and hardships. That's what you're going to harvest. On the other hand, if you're the person who lives to please the Spirit of God, as we were exploring last Sunday, meaning that you wake up every day and you say, God, I'm here to serve you. I want to love you in any way I can. If you live for God in that way, you can expect a harvest of real life, eternal life. You get out of life what you deserve. Then I began thinking, is that really true? Because I think all of us here today know of people who have dedicated their lives to pleasing God, who have tried to do the right thing every day. They have tried to do good to people, as the Scriptures command us to do. And they have tried to avoid getting trapped by sinful habits and evil desires and all that. And all they got to show for their life is hardship. One hardship after another after another. And we also know of people who, they live life just to please their sinful natures, right? They indulge in everything that we looked at from Galatians chapter 5, from, you know, drunkenness, to orgies, to parties, to divisions, and on that list goes. And all they show for their life is smooth sailing. The wind is behind their back. The road always is going downhill. The sun is shining over their shoulders. Is life really fair? How many know the name Elon Musk? Remember the name Elon? He's been in the news a lot lately, hasn't he? Now, there's a backstory to Elon that I discovered just this past week, and I added it to this message. Very interesting that he was invited to speak at an assembly of high school students. And he came by helicopter, landed in the parking lot. He went in. He was only in this assembly for 10 minutes. And he gave the high school students 11 basic rules for life. I'm not going to give you all 11. But you know what the number one rule was, he said, for living? You ready for this? Life is not fair, so get used to it. And then he went on with some other ones, and he got back on his helicopter and left. Interesting. A guy like him, a multi-billionaire, would make that as a number one rule for living. You can expect life is not fair. And I thought, wow, if he could say that, that's huge. All of which takes us to the next thing I want to share with you today. It's my privilege to share with you that even though life is unfair all around us, and we probably ourselves have been victims of that in one way or another, I'm here to present to you today a God who is fair. Now, if you're going through an unfair experience in life right now, that's probably going to be the hardest pill to swallow. Because how can God be fair when he brings all this stuff into my life, when I've been just trying to do the good stuff all the time? How can God possibly be fair? Well, there's a story that Jesus told when he was on this earth. It's recorded for us by Matthew in his gospel, chapter 20. And if you have Bibles, I invite you to turn to it, or I'm going to put it up here. This is in the New Living Translation, which I think puts it in language we can understand better today. But in that story, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of an estate who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal rate wage, and he sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them too, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. At noon, and again around 3, he did the same thing. And at 5 p.m. that evening, he was in town again, saw more people standing around, and he asked them, "Why haven't you been working today?" And they replied, "Because no one has hired us." The owner of the estate then told him, "Then go out, join the others in my vineyard." That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last worker first. And when those hired at 5 were paid, each received how much? Full day's work, a wage. And then when those hired earlier came to get their pay, they assumed they would get more. But they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested, they complained, they grumbled. "Hey, those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat." And the owner answered them, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? So take it and go. I wanted to pay the last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be angry because I am kind? And so it is that many who are first now will be last then, and those who are last now will be first then." Now, this raises an obvious question about who's the landowner in the story. Of course, it's God, right? And it raises a question, is this really fair? Is this really, you know, is this really right? I mean, we hear this saying all the time, equal work deserves equal pay. Well, they didn't have equal work. Some started later than the others, but still, they were the ones that had worked all day. They had some complaints to make against the landowner. "Hey, we should get more pay than someone who done this." The landowner responds, "Hey, it's my money. I can do what I want." And I like what is said. I like what is said by the landowner. He says, "My friend, I have not been unfair." I think Jesus tells this story for a couple reasons. Number one, he knows that the very best of us and the most mature of us as Christians are going to come points in our life when we're going to feel it's not fair. We are going to feel that way. And we're going to be much like the workers in the story, much like the psalmist. Remember what the psalmist said in Psalm, I think, 142? "I cry out to the Lord. I pour out my complaints before him. I tell him all my troubles." Jesus knows that we're wired this way, that this when we feel life is unfair, this is going to be their natural response. But Jesus also is telling this story to remind us that even though life is unfair, God is fair. And that's an important teaching in the scriptures for us to be reminded of. Remember those words that the landowner said to the people that complained? We'll put them up again for you to see. He answered them, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take it and go. I want to pay the last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be angry because I am kind?" No, the God that reveals himself to us in the scriptures is a God who is fair. even when life feels unfair. Came across in my research for this message a book that was written by Philip Yancey. I don't know if you've read any of his material or not. He was a doctor. He just has written some very insightful things. The name of the book is Disappointment with God. Now, I didn't read the book, but I read the synopsis. When you can go on the internet, it's really great. You can just say, I like to see a synopsis of the book so I can understand what it's saying. And in that synopsis, it was mentioned there's a story that's told in the book, Disappointment with God, about a husband named, a father named Douglas. Douglas had a wife and beautiful bride. They had a baby daughter that was, you know, about 5 or 6 years old, I guess it was, when the mother went in for her annual checkup, went through a mammogram, discovered she had cancer in her breast. Well, they go through all the chemo and all the treatment and everything else. She's feeling sick, as you are when you get chemo for cancer. Doug, he has to help out around the home. In addition to his work, he has to prepare meals, do the laundry, clean the house. He's got to take care of his daughter because the mother just and his wife just didn't have any energy, anything to do but to think of getting better. And as the story goes on, she got surgery because there was cancer in the family. They were recommended they have a mastectomy. They did that, and more radiation, more chemo treatment. And then after a couple years, she went in for a follow-up checkup, and they discovered, of all things, she also had cancer in her lungs. Things had gone from bad to worse, and so that meant more chemo, more radiation. And Doug is dealing with, where's the fairness in all this? I mean, God, where is your fairness in my life? And as he's wrestling with this, he's taking his wife home from a chemo treatment. Daughter's in the back seat. Wife is in the front. And would you know it, a driver crosses over the line, later found out he was intoxicated, smashed head-on into the car, killed his wife instantly. His daughter suffered a fractured arm, severe lacerations to the face. Doug went smash right into the steering wheel, hit his head, and the head injury caused blindness in one eye. And it, on top of that, he had headaches. He couldn't even function. He was so disoriented at times. He had applied for disability. And you would think that someone that went through all that would really have it in for God, wouldn't you? But Philip Yancey evidently had a conversation with this Douglas, and this is what he said. I find this absolutely amazing. We can put that. What I have learned, first through what happened with my wife, then especially through the terrible accident I had, is not to confuse life with God. Those, my friends, key words for us as Christ followers. Life at times can seem so unfair, but God is not. Powerful. And Philip Yancey goes on to say that really when we are going through times in life when everything seems unfair, there are really two forces or two powers at work within us. One is the temptation to confuse life with the essence of God, because God is revealing himself in Scripture as someone who's very fair. The story Jesus told. The other thing that we are often driven to do, especially if we've been Christians for a good share of our life, is that there's this renewed sense of getting close and connected to God once again. If you've ever been in a serious time in your life, there's something inside of us that just cries out, God, I got to get close to you. I got to get connected to you once again. And that's the time to remember, by the way, that God himself was not exempt from unfairness in this world. You ever think about that? Think about the gospel story with me. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and that whoever would believe in him have eternal life. So Jesus comes into this world. Jesus says, I've come not to be served, but to serve and to offer my life as a ransom for many. Jesus did nothing but good wherever he went. He went about doing good. He healed people. He cast out demons. He enabled the blind to see. He preached good news wherever he went. And yet, for all the good, for living to please the Spirit of God, Jesus ended up on the cross. And there on the cross, he died for our sins, for our struggles with guilt and all this, talking about the contrast between unfairness and then yet at the same time, God reveals through the cross who he really is. He's fair, he's kind, he's compassionate, his mercies are new, he's faithful. All seen in the story of the cross. So, my dear friends, if you are going through a time in your life right now where you feel life is just unfair, if you're there, what I see in this story is that's the time to get close to God once again. Call out to God. We're encouraging the scriptures to call out to God. Make that commitment, whatever it might mean for you, to stay close and connected to God. Because when you get close to God, you begin to see life in a whole different way than if you're not connected with him at all. And not only do that, interesting enough, we're right back to where we were last Sunday. Focus on doing good to everyone who crosses our paths. Get the focus off yourself and look to those all around you who could use a kind word, an encouraging word, or some good deed. Here we go back to Galatians 6. Let's look at those words again in Galatians 6 about let's not become weary in doing good. This is in the Message translation, by the way. Let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let's never get tired of doing what is good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, why is it so helpful to focus on doing good when we're struggling with the fairness issues of life? It's all about the promise in those words. Did you catch it? I'm going to put those up in another slide here. We will reap a harvest of blessing at the proper time. That's God's promise to you. If you get connected to him, you're going to reap a harvest of blessing. Now, a couple things. We kind of slid right over this last Sunday. I want to pause. Hit the pause button here. Take a closer look at it. Did you notice the harvest of blessing is really never defined? It just says harvest of blessing. And I think for good reason, because blessings can come to us in perhaps ways we could never expect or anticipate. But the promise is there. If you focus on doing good, there will be a harvest of blessing. The good you do will be the good you get back at some point. And that leads us to the next thing. It says, at the proper time. What's the proper time? How do we know? It could be tomorrow, it could be next week, it could be next month, it could be next year, it could be in the next life is when it's the proper time that we'll receive that harvest of blessing. So my takeaway from this message as I've been preparing it is a fresh call to have faith in God who is fair. When life feels unfair, trust in the God who is fair. And the second thing that I take away from this message is to do good. I love the words of John Wesley. If you can read it with me, if you can see it, it's kind of small print, I apologize. Read it with me, will you? This is really cool. Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. You do that, and God's blessings will be upon you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us in these words of Scripture that when life feels unfair, let us draw upon how deep your love is for us and stay connected to you and to be develop our relationship with you through faith. And Lord, to also look for ways and opportunities each and every day to do good to as many as we can, wherever we can. And I pray, God, for these people who you love so much, that even when they feel life is unfair, they will look to you as a God who is fair. They will trust in you. They will depend upon you. And they will do as much good as they can in this Hamilton community for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.